Okay, before I start, I just wanted to just thank you guys for being here today. And I don't know if you all know this, but this is the last time we're coming out here. So we've been here since September, and you know, we've gone through like the whole year, the whole semester. And so it's been awesome. It's been a privilege to come here and serve with this team at GFCC, to hang out with you guys and get to know your church. We'll see what happens afterwards. I'm sure Pastor Daniel will ask if we can come again, which we will gladly say yes, because we love to come out here. But I also wanted to thank Roseanne and her mom, Xiao Xian. They've been here pretty much every month, serving very faithfully. Roseanne is graduating, so she's going off to college. I don't know, have you decided yet?
Yeah, George Mason.
George Mason, all right. We are very happy for you, Roseanne. So... unfortunately, you won't see her anymore here, unless I guess she comes back on break or something. But I've just been so blessed by Roseanne personally, and by her mom, of course. And so we're just very thankful for Roseanne serving a whole year with us. So be praying for the next team that comes. But we just want to let you know, thank you for having us. It's been awesome. Okay, so we're going to talk about pursuing excellence today. Oh, you know what? I actually have some handouts. If... someone could help me hand this out here. Can you hand this out to everyone here? Thank you. Okay. Don't let the mochi distract you. we're going to talk about pursuing excellence. And I think this is it's a very needed topic, especially the last couple weeks. In my interactions with some of our church members and church leadership. So don't get distracted by the handout just yet. You can just hold it, don't open it. We'll talk about it later towards the end of the sermon. But for right now, we'll talk about excellence and why it's really been a topic in my heart, especially for the last couple weeks or months. Talking to a lot of leaders recently, they felt very discouraged. And primarily it's because they have this sense of, fire in them. And they have this sense of wanting to really be involved in ministry and see God work in their lives and in others' lives. And the disappointment comes when, you know, the team that they work with or the people that, the folks at church, they're trying to get involved, aren't as excited, and or when they get involved, they kind of do a very mediocre job at it, like half-hearted, their heart isn't there. And so these leaders are just very discouraged about why aren't folks serving with a heart of excellence, right? If our God is a God of excellence, then why aren't we seeing that? And so that's been, unfortunately, a lot of the conversations I've had. And Pastor Rowe, so he's the English pastor in our church, we were talking through a lot of these things, and we both joked. We're like, do we really want our church to grow? Because the more we grow, the more problems we have, and the more issues we see with people just like don't really want to pursue excellence. And so we were joking, okay? We want to see God's kingdom advance. We want to see more people come to know Christ. But that's part of like our broken leadership and our sinful nature, right? We see brokenness and mediocrity around us, and we see that, you know, even when we try to pursue excellence, we're not living up to our own standards. And so that's sort of been the theme the last couple weeks. And so God's really put a burden in my heart to talk about this topic and to learn how to model after others who actually exhibit excellence, right? To see folks currently that are still alive, you know, who are some people right now we know of that exhibit excellence? Can I learn from that person? Are there historical figures that we have seen in the past that exhibit excellence and we can learn from them? So that's the topic we're going to get on this morning, is around excellence. I did do this at our church a couple weeks ago. That's how important I feel like this topic is for us. And I did a poll. I asked the parents, I said, how many of you expect excellence from your children? And only a very small handful of parents raised their hands. So I'm like, oh, wow. So this is bizarre because I thought Asian parents have really high standards, right? If you get an A, it's average. You got to get an A plus, right? So very few of them raised their hands, which shocked me. And then I asked the college students, I say, okay, how many of you guys expect or desire excellence from your college students or from your professors? And not many of them raised their hands. I'm like, what is going on here? I asked different age groups and I did not get a whole lot of hands raised, which was extremely shocking to me and extremely saddening to me. I'm so sad. I'm like, wow, do people at GCBCR just expect mediocrity from everyone, right? At least that's my conclusion. If I did a poll and that's the result I get, and you do data analysis on it, that means that this church doesn't really pursue excellence in any area, whether that's parenting or ministry or academics or whatever. So I thought it was so shocking that I was almost like, whoa, this is so, so bizarre to me. And so my hope is I don't want to do this poll here because I can't handle another disappointing poll. But I do want to let you guys know that that's kind of what was going on in our church. And so my challenge for them and for all of us here this morning is the same, is how can we pursue excellence, especially when it comes to things of the Lord, right? And I would say that even other aspects of our lives, we might try to separate when I'm at church and I'm doing ministry, I pursue excellence. But when I'm at home with my parents, I don't need to pursue excellence. When I'm at college with academics, I don't have to. That's not how this topic would go, because there's no such thing as sacred and secular, right? Everything is sacred. So when I'm at work, I'm pursuing excellence. When I'm parenting my kids, I'm pursuing excellence, because everything that you do is part of a heart of worship to God. So that's where we're going to go today. Now, if you're wondering why I have a mochi sriracha back here, it's because this is a prize for anyone who would get the right answer to this pop quiz. Okay, so name this person. We're going to focus about half our sermon this morning on this one person. Who is this? Oh, raise your hand. Yes. Oh, I wonder where you got that answer from. Yes. Very smart, very smart. You're an A-plus student. Annie Armstrong. And so you get this prize. Yay. You can share this or you can be selfish and eat it yourself. I had the regular one. It's really good. This one's sriracha. So I hope you like it. But yes, this is Annie Armstrong. And I bet you if I didn't hand it out before the sermon, nobody could have guessed who she was. And I'll be honest, up till I guess about a week or two ago when I was kind of putting this message together, if you showed me that picture, I wouldn't know who that person is. If you told me the name, I could probably remember. But she's not as famous as the missionary that's part of this church. Do you guys know who that person is? Lottie Moon, all right. So we all know Lottie Moon. She is a famous missionary that went to China. This is her home church, First Baptist, Charlottesville. She has a lot of history here. I guess if you guys walk around in the building, you see a lot of displays about Lottie Moon. If you go to YouTube, you'll see a lot of videos about her. If you Google, there will be tons and tons of content about Lottie Moon. However, if you Google Annie Armstrong, you'll get a handful of videos, maybe. You get a handful of hits on Google. That's about it. So she's not very famous. And that's a reason for that. She, although a lot of her ministry is focused on mission work, she is actually not a missionary herself. She's the driving force behind a lot of the mission work that's going on. And we'll actually we'll go through a hit list of the various ways that she had been such a big influence on mission work, but from the background. And we're going to look at her influence in just her own backyard. So she was born in Baltimore. We're going to see how she really mobilized people in Baltimore. We're going to look at the national level. So how did she mobilize missionaries and churches at the national level? And she also surprisingly has a lot of influence over international missions. So we'll look at that part as well. So those are the three areas we're going to look at. But Annie Armstrong is actually part of North American Mission Board. So I work at the International Mission Board. Lottie Moon is like our poster child, right? When I walk into the lobby of the IMB, like Lottie Moon stuff is all over the place. But Annie Armstrong is related to North American Mission Board. And so when we think Lottie Moon, we think Christmas offering. So Annie Armstrong is actually the Easter offering. And I don't know, does GFCC give to Annie Armstrong Easter offering? Do y'all know? No? All right. Don't feel depressed because our church doesn't either. And so one of the challenges that I put before Grace Chinese is that we're going to start putting this in our budget. So this year, we're actually going to carve out some money to give out to North American Mission Board Easter offering. And then going forward, we're going to make it part of our annual budget. So I'm glad that we're starting to do that because Annie Armstrong is domestic U.S. mission. So we're going to watch a video real quick. It's just a short video talking about her and the Annie Armstrong offering and how that relates to North American Mission Board. Then we're going to go into the life of Annie, okay?
For almost 100 years, in big cities with 100 skyscrapers and tiny towns with one stoplight, on college campuses and Native American reservations, and churches too many to count, hundreds of thousands of men and women and boys and girls have made hundreds of thousands of life-changing decisions. Almost none of them knew her name, and yet she was there. Annie Armstrong lived more than 100 years ago. Only this one picture of her survives. History could have easily forgotten her, but Annie Armstrong is worth remembering. In the late 1800s, when most women had no voice, Annie was one of the first to speak up. First, for the urban poor in her hometown of Baltimore, and then for Southern Baptist missionaries around the world who desperately needed support. It was for these people that she helped start the National Women's Missionary Union as its first executive leader. She gave women a platform in their local church, and in ways that they'd never done before. These women helped focus Southern Baptist attention on the hurting and the lost, and the missionaries trying to reach them. Annie wrote letters, 18,000 in just 1 year, and she traveled across America, encouraging missionaries and inspiring churches to pray, to give, and to act. She worked long hours, paid her own expenses, and refused to accept a salary. And in the darkest days of the Depression, right before she died, an offering was named after her. Today, the Annie Armstrong Easter offering helps missionaries in the U.S. and Canada start new churches and meet needs through compassion ministries. Over the years, Southern Baptists have given more than $1 billion to that offering, and 100% of it, every penny, has gone straight to the mission field. There's still work left to do. The need is bigger than ever. And that's why, even though she lived more than a century ago, and even though only one picture of her survives, Annie Armstrong's influence lives on. Because today in North America, just as it's been from the beginning, anywhere a missionary is sent, every time a new church is born, anytime someone gives to her offering so that a lost person might be found, Annie is there.
All right, let me grab this book real quick. Okay. So we're talking about excellence today. And like I said, there wasn't a whole lot of materials for me to read about Annie Armstrong. Most of them were just summary. So I really wanted to get to know this woman, get to know Annie's like challenges, her passions, you know, her struggles. And so I got this biography from WMU, so Women's Missionary Union. That's another entity of the SBC. But we'll talk about her role in WMU as well. But when I read this book, I had several, I guess, reactions after reading this. Number one was I was just amazed at how Annie really demonstrated excellence, because it was just like challenges after challenges, and she met each one with grace, with a lot of wisdom. And so that inspired me, right? Because a lot of church stuff and ministry work, you always experience challenges. So how do you rise above those, right? How do you pursue excellence when nothing's going right for you? And so that's what I learned from her. I also learned from her how to like mobilize people, because that's my passion. It's just mobilization. How do we mobilize people for mission? How do we mobilize the church? How do we do that kind of stuff? So I really like background kind of things. And so for me to learn how she did it was also really awesome. But when I thought about her, you know, this Bible passage from Colossians is what I think about. It's from Colossians 3, 23 to 24. It says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." This is a very short passage, but I think it has a lot of meaning for when we pursue Christ, and when we, especially when we do ministry work. Because a lot of times when we do ministry work, it's out of, honestly, the goodness of our heart. So like you might say, oh, there's a youth group with a bunch of youth, but no one is helping them. Well, I'll step in and help with the youth group. Or you might say, well, there's this college group, no one is stepping in to help, you know, I'll step in and help. Or you may say, this family at church, they're really going through a hard time, you know, I'll step in and kind of love on them. And so a lot of times our motivation and intentions are truly good to go in and help and extend a helping hand. But I think if that's all we go into, very quickly when we hit challenges and difficulties, we're going to want to quit, because our intention was purely at the helping the person or helping the church level. And so for this passage, there's very deep biblical truth here that say when you are doing these kind of work, you're not doing it for people, although your intentions to start off may be to love on those people, to love on that group. But ultimately, you're doing this for the Lord, right? So for me, this has been a lot of words of wisdom. So when I'm doing things and things get hard, and I remind myself that this, I'm doing this for the Lord and not people, it gives me that drive to keep moving forward. So when things are kind of crashing around me and things aren't growing great, I can continue to say, you know, the Lord is the one that has put this burden in my heart. And so I'm going to keep chugging along on this path until he changes my path, regardless of what's going on. And so I think it's both easy and hard to do, right? It's easy because you keep your eyes focused on the Lord. And so you only have one voice you need to listen to. It's hard because you're always around people. And so those people's voices will also influence how you feel about yourself and how you feel about the ministry, how you feel about how you're doing in that ministry. They may tell you suck, or they may tell you you're doing great, and then your emotions kind of go up and down depending on how people say you are. And so I think there's a lot of biblical truth here. And if we focus on the Lord, then our emotions will be steadier, and then our perseverance and stamina and idea to pursue excellence can remain steady regardless of how, you know, the ministry is going. And I think ultimately we have to remember that it says here, it's from the Lord, you will receive the inheritance as your reward. So that's kind of what we're going after, right? We're not going after the praises of people. And I would even argue that we're not going after numbers and results, because that kind of stuff really doesn't matter to God. God is the one that does that, right? Not our gifting. And so I would say, whatever situations you're in right now, pursue that with excellence. And don't get discouraged or disappointed, because you will at some point. It's just not a matter of like, will you or will you not? The question is, when will that happen to you, right? So pursue that with excellence, knowing that it's from the Lord. So I want to talk about three areas where Annie pursued excellence. And I also want to talk about some of the challenges she had to get through. The first one is her own backyard. So she was born in Baltimore. I mentioned this. And back then, it was a time where women were not expected to lead. It's in the 1800s, right? I would say, culturally speaking, that is very true. And also within the ministries of the church in the SBC at that time, it was very male dominant. And so for her to exert leadership as a woman was very, very difficult. In fact, there's just multiple examples in this book where she was trying to not even be a leader, just come alongside SBC and say, hey, I'm going to mobilize these women to help with the funds of mission work, and she'll get shut down. And so my feeling when I was reading through this book, you know, just seeing her trying to advance God's kingdom through very graceful methods, but continually getting shut down by the men and organizations was very discouraging for me. But what was encouraging is that that didn't stop her from pursuing excellence. She just kept moving forward in however doors that God opened for her. So for me, that was quite inspirational. She loved the local church. She was an active member of that church plant for 70 years. So when she was young, they actually church planted out. And so she became part of that church plant. And she was there for literally 70 years, serving in the children ministry for 50 years. And I love this heart of Annie. I think when you get involved in a lot of ministries outside of the church, sometimes we forget, you know, that God's ministry really is the local church. Like, that's where things happen. And so for her, even though she was always mobilizing nationally and internationally, her heart always remained for her local church. It's to love the people and the church. And for her specifically, it was the children. And so for me, this is great because, you know, I'm involved in so many things. I feel like this year in particular and last year, I actually haven't been at my church a whole lot because I'm involved in a lot of other things outside of our church. And so for me, you know, this was a great reminder that wherever God puts you, the local church people is really where your heart ought to really anchor. You know, those are the community that God has given you. And so faithfully be part of it, faithfully serve there. And when drama shows up, you know, handle it in a way that's graceful. She also started the Bayview Mission for Baltimore Poor and Addicted. I love how Annie was always challenging herself and her local church to look and say, well, where would God want us to minister in the local setting? And for her, it was the poor and the addicted. And so this will be another challenge that I would throw out at you guys is, you know, how can you start ministering to those in Charlottesville? Like, you don't have to be a big church, right? It could be one or two people or even three or four. Just pray to the Lord and say, what are some places where the Lord would have me minister, and let's just start serving there. And I'll talk about some examples later from GCBCR. But I love her heart for doing this, because I think if all we focus on are church things, then this ends up becoming a country club, social club, right? And it's very easy to do that. Like, I see churches do that all the time. They forget the reason for the existence of a church is for its non-members. Like, we don't exist to cater to each other, right? We exist as a church to disciple, to send out to people outside. Like, that is our goal, right? We don't just hang out in our church. That's not the reason. And churches that do that, they implode and they die off. I've seen so many of them. So I pray that you guys, GFCC, especially this English congregation that isn't even a year old, that you will always start off with a DNA that says we're always going to be missional. Like, we're always going to look out. How can we love upon those outside our church? And the last one, around her backyard, this was more like at the state level, but she was the first president of the Women Baptist Home Mission Society for Maryland. She established, actually one of their first priorities was to establish an Indian school and minister to Chinese immigrants. I found this amazing. And part of it is because they were based in Baltimore, right? It's a port city. And so there were a lot of immigrants kind of flooding in through the port. And so Chinese immigrants were actually flooding in from the port. And so for her, she looked at that and said, well, if that's where I live and that's where God's going to bring these people, then that's who I'm going to minister to. And she worked through that society to do that. And through that society, they also sent just funds to Cuba and New Orleans. So I love this. Loving people, doing ministry in your backyard. Most people can't go on mission trips internationally. Most people don't even do like domestic, like U.S. level stuff. But as a church, we should always have something local going on, whether it's in Charlottesville or Virginia, okay? So I challenge GFCC to be thinking that way. The next one is domestic mission. This one's pretty cool. It was through some of the conferences that she was in that she heard about the needs for Native Americans and mountain people that were out on the West. And so she started traveling westward to minister to the to first understand what was going on. And then she mobilized a lot of the churches in her area to minister to the Native Americans, getting funds, making clothes, you know, doing that kind of stuff. And she would bring them towards the West. And a lot of the biography here talks about her, like, on wagons, you know, heading to the West, and, like, she's meeting random people, and then how she's, like, sleeping in the wagon as they're traveling. So it's pretty cool, the story of how she kind of did a lot of these domestic-type work. It says she traveled across America, encouraging missionaries and inspiring churches to pray, give, and act. I really love this aspect of Annie, because she wasn't just ministering to people who had needs, right? She ministered to those people who were ministering to those people who have needs. And these are the missionaries. These are the church planters. I'll talk a little bit about church planters later on, but they are really the hardest working people I know. And they need a lot of encouraging. Many times church planters are planted out and missionaries are planted out. And so many times they actually don't even have a support system. Like, they could literally be the only people in that city, church planting. And so it's very easy for them to burn out, to get discouraged, to not have a support system. And so for Annie, it was important for her to minister to these people as well. And so that's another challenge that I give our church, is how can we love and minister to church planters just around Richmond? There's a church plant that we work with, and we try to support them as much as we can. Here's the third one, raise support for missionaries to Italians and Jewish immigrants. So all these are national level things. The last one is around international mission. This one actually shocked me the most, and we'll talk about how she intersected with Lottie Moon, because I didn't even realize they had met, they had talked, and then how she really supported international mission. She's probably best known, Annie, as the first, I guess, executive of the WMU. So she was, like, on the leadership team that started the Women's Missionary Union. And she was one of the key executives there. I didn't realize this, but she also helped alleviate the Home Mission Board debt. And so the Home Mission Board at that time, I think they were like $20,000 in debt. And they were about to withdraw a lot of their missionaries back from the field. And so Annie heard about this, and she mobilized the WMU at the national level and state and local level to gather funds to go to the Home Mission Board. And so as a result, they were able to keep the missionaries on the field as a direct result of Annie's work here. This is the cool one. She secured funds to relieve China missionary Lottie Moon, who has served for 11 years without furlough. And so you guys know the story of Lottie Moon. She was always writing back to the church in the U.S., asking the church for prayers, asking the church for funds. And most of all, Lottie Moon was always asking the church to send more missionaries. Like, that was a big theme of all her letters. And Annie heard this. She knew that Lottie Moon needed a break. Like, furlough just means a break from mission work. And she was just asking for one missionary to replace her. But through Annie's work, she actually raised enough for three missionaries to go over there and give Lottie Moon some much-needed break. And this one I also really love. She was an advocate for the African-American community, especially the black females missionary. Back then, there weren't any. Not a pun there, but Annie really advocated for them, and she actually got two appointed, which is amazing. You know, back when women couldn't really do this, let alone African Americans, the fact that she could achieve all these things and push things forward really, really shows excellence on her part. This, I, it just I'll tell you, it blew me away when I read about her missionaries. And it blew me away more than Lottie Moon, okay? Not a offense to Lottie Moon here, but I'm like, man, this Annie woman, she's hardcore. And so she became an inspiration to a lot. Definitely inspired me for sure. For someone who's relatively unknown, I didn't even know about much about her till, you know, a month ago. But she's really, her pursuit of excellence inspired me personally. And this is the quote that you'll probably see a lot when you Google. It says, go forward. This is her call when she was going westward. She says, go forward. And her challenge for us is, the future lies all before us. Shall it only be a slight advance upon what we usually do? So she's asking each one of us and say, when you move the needle, when you push that ball forward, is it just status quo plus 0.1%, right? Are you just taking baby steps? She says, ought it not be a bound, a leap forward to altitudes of endeavor and success undreamed of before? I think this one is very important because it shows our level of confidence and our understanding of the God that we worship. It really does. So if you will only take small risks, do small things, make slight advances, it shows your faith in our Lord is very small, right? Because that's about all the level of confidence you have in how God would use you in these situations. But when we have a high view of God, when we have a big view of God, when we look at God as the sovereign Lord over all creation and all-powerful God, when we see the Lord that way, then the things that we do, the things that we pursue, the bar that we have in our lives, whether that's at work, at school, in ministry work, it will always be leaps and bounds, right? It will always be to altitudes and endeavor undreamed before, because we know that's where the Lord is. That's Him. And He has that ability and capability to have us experience Him in ways that are just phenomenal, that just blows our mind away and say, wow, did God just use me to do that? Did God just use me to experience that? And that's where I would challenge each one of you to take risks, to dream big, because that is the God that we worship. Okay, don't be risk adverse. Don't be mediocre. Don't be scared of putting yourself out there. Annie experienced a lot of difficulties and challenges, but because she saw her Lord as a big Lord, she also experienced the Lord in big, magnificent ways, right? And that would be my challenge for you, is don't be afraid of failure, but take chances and pray. I honestly believe God will have you experience Him in very unexpected ways. Okay, so here are some testimonies from GCBCR, Grace Chinese Baptist. So our church is in Richmond, and I wanted to show some examples of how, like, when we work with church planters, how that went. So this was our very, very first mission trip, 2015. We went to Philadelphia, and the guy on the left, he's Kyle. He is the North American Mission Board catalyst for the area of Philadelphia. The other picture, the guy on the back, that's Pastor Joseph, and that's our first mission team. Two adults, two college students, and two youth. That was it, 2015. We didn't have a lot of people. Back then, our church was, there were a lot of people, but not many people wanted to go on mission trips because it was our first time. People didn't know what to expect. And so it was a small group, and we went there. And I think Pastor Joseph really exhibited excellence in what he did, really in two areas. So the first one was, he every week he would go to an abortion clinic, and he would go there to talk to the women who were going to walk in, to talk to them about alternatives, and to really plead to them to not give up their babies. And so I knew that was coming that week. I was not looking forward to going there. And it didn't help that he said, okay, we're gonna go Thursday. And on Wednesday in that room, he walked out with a sign. He's like, okay, who's going to carry this sign? I've changed my mind. We're going to go today. Oh my gosh, I was so mentally unprepared to do this. And all of us looked at each other like, who's going to hold that sign? You know, and because I was buckling under the pressure of being the leader of that group. I'm like, all right, I'll hold it. And so we went, and the whole time I felt so uncomfortable holding it because it was in a corner. It was a pretty busy corner. And I was like, I'm going to hold this. People are going to come up to me, spit in my face, you know, like, kick me or like, beat me up. I had like the worst case scenario. But God really surprised me when I was standing there with a sign, holding it like in a very timid fashion. Women would come up to me and say, thank you for doing this. Thank you for what you're doing. And in fact, I had one lady that came up to me and said, it was because of what Pastor Joseph has done here that I've saved my baby. And so there were several of that kind of testimony as we were there that day. For me, it was, I'm like, wow, this is such an eye-opener. You know, I always thought people who picket in front of an abortion clinic were like, really, you know, they had emotional issues. And I was like, oh, I'm one of them today. But, and then I always thought people were going to be nasty to those people. But I had such a different experience. It blew my mind. And so, you know, God really surprised me that day and said, you know, a lot of perceptions that we normally have may not be true, right? Until you experience it. So here's the other one. It's the mission trip we had in New York City. Pastor Turpin, Chris Turpin on the far right, that's him. And this was the second team we brought up. It's a little bit more people. So as people started hearing about mission work, there's more folks joining. And so this one specifically, we were in Staten Island ministering to the Catholics there. And so I love Pastor Chris's heart. He brought us into his dining room. He had all these maps up. And it was an analysis of Staten Island. And so he would say, you know, this area has no church. We're going to go there this week. Or he'll say, like, this area, there's one church. We're going to go and encourage that pastor this week. And so he showed a map of how the Lord has brought him to this area, the people that the Lord wants him to reach. And so we just sat there listening to him. And for me, that was really, really encouraging. You know, he wasn't going in there blind. He had a plan. He was trying to pursue excellence with what he was doing. This one's the next one in Atlanta. We were in South Atlanta. That's Pastor Thomas in the middle right there and Pastor Justin on the right. So Thomas is half Korean, half black. Justin is white, of course. And we went to South Atlanta. It was I'll talk about why they demonstrated excellence here. And I'll tell you a story. So that day we went. South Atlanta is a place that you're really not supposed to go because it's the ghetto, okay? It's the place that, you know, when you go visit Atlanta as a tourist, you will avoid South Atlanta with all possibility if possible. So Pastor Justin that day said, hey, I'm going to send your mission team out to the neighborhood. You know, tell them about the barbecue that we're going to have. Hand out church connection cards so that folks in the neighborhood can know about this. And I told Pastor Justin, I'm like, can you come with us at least, you know, like provide safety. But he said, no, you guys are Asians. You'll be okay. And I did not believe him. I'm like, what? Did you just say something really racist to us? You're like, what has our Asian got to do with us being safe walking around this neighborhood? He's like, don't worry, Pastor Carter. You guys will be fine. And so I'm like, okay. I don't want to have to call a parent if like one of us gets shot, you know, walking the neighborhood here. But I say, okay, I trust you, Pastor Justin. You know this neighborhood. So we started walking. We split up into different teams. And as we were walking, I was totally expecting, you know, gang members coming up to us or just like crazy stuff I see on TV, right, like on Cops. But nothing of that sort happened. In fact, when residents ran up to us, do you all want to guess the question they asked us? Just take a guess. What did they ask us when they ran up to us? And I'll give you, they weren't asking us if we wanted to buy drugs. They weren't asking us gang-related stuff. What do you think they asked us? Take some random guesses here.
Where are you from?
Where you're from? No? That would be a very nice question, but they didn't ask that. Give one more try.
wonton.
How do you make, oh my, that's very close. So they came up to us, they asked, can we see your menu? I'm like, menu? So they thought we were Asian delivery from like Chinese restaurant, right? Chinese takeout is what they thought we were. And so they're like, can we see your menu? We want to order Chinese food. I'm like, we don't have Chinese menu, but we have a gospel tract and we have a church invitation card. You know, come to this church. And so we just did that. And so I love Pastor Justin's heart of just loving his neighborhood, right? It's a very, very broken neighborhood, but he continued to love them. So here's the question. How can you pursue excellence, okay? We've seen scripture. We've seen Annie's life. We've seen testimonies from our church in Richmond. So how can you guys here at GFCC do this? Number one, learn about Annie. Get this book if you can. Get Pastor Daniel to buy it and then give it to you guys. And then read that later when we end the sermon. So just learn about Annie because I was so inspired by her. I really, truly was. Second one is you got to practice this, okay? If you don't go out, if you don't take that first step, you will never, never experience excellence. And so you got to go out on some local mission trip. So this one just happened yesterday. Did anyone go there? It's the Asian American celebration in Richmond. So this is Central Virginia's one of the largest gatherings of Asian Americans. This was in the Richmond Convention Center yesterday. You have all these nations gathered. They have like cultural booths. They have like Asian American business owner booths. They have a lot of food booths. There's like cultural performances through the day. So our church, when we have a booth there, as you can see, I don't know if you guys remember Elizabeth and Jordan. They were here preaching one month in the last 9 months. So Jordan had preached here one time. And he's one of the deacons in our church. But we were there, and this is like our way to do local mission, right? We know there's going to be so many Asian Americans flocking to the area. And so what better way to do local mission than to have a church booth there where we can talk to them about our church, we can talk to them about the gospel, we can talk to them about what we do there. And so we had a lot of people. We don't have time to go through a lot of pictures that I took, but we had so many people, non-Asian people, we had Middle Eastern people, we had Muslim people of all faith. They would come to our booth and we got to talk to them about our church, our faith, and invite them to our church. And so these are just simple things to do locally, right? I'm sure Charlottesville has some kind of, I don't know, Chinese New Year event for like Chinese students. You know, can you guys be involved in that? These are the very simple things I'm talking about that the community is already doing. So just go join them as a church and be part of that group. The other thing is this one, right? So we go out after the service to UVA to talk to students. I want to see you guys from this church being part of that effort. So if we do come back next semester, you know, hopefully you guys will join us for the campus walk. So we walk around, we talk to students, we invite them to come here. I know that the Easter invitation was pretty successful. You guys had a lot of students that showed up at the Easter baptism and Easter grill out. So join us. And the last one is, if you have folks that aren't super comfortable doing like spiritual type outreach, you can always do a community type outreach. So Gushalin Care is one of our ministry. We send a team out every month. They help this nonprofit called Gushalin Care, which offer free clinic and family services. So they go there and do like cloak closet, they'll do like food pantries, whatever. And that's what I'm talking about, where Annie, you know, was ministering to the poor and to like the addicted. This is how you guys can get involved. And this was a deliberate strategy on our church not to start a ministry, because our church isn't that big. So we don't have the resources to start ministries, like do food pantries in our church. That's just not feasible. So the way that we go about doing it is we look for nonprofits in the area and we partner with them. And so you can do this with any church size, especially with, you know, the English congregation that's very small. Go partner with local nonprofits. Go be involved with them. And it will shock you how God would use ministries like that. We've actually had people through Gushalin Cares who are non-church members, the people in the community who just want to do like community service hours for their kids, right? They'll join our effort and end up coming to our church. Like, we have families. We aren't even intentionally using that as an outreach, but through this non-Christian ministry, non-outreach ministries, folks have come to our church as a result of that. And so I would encourage you guys, be creative in how you do mission work. You know, think out of the box. Not everything has to be very spiritual. It can just be loving on your neighbors, and God will use those efforts in really awesome ways. And so we've gone through a lot today. We've unpacked a lot. I pray that you've been encouraged through this message to strive for excellence. I pray that you've seen how our church does it, right? It's not complicated stuff. It's very easy. You don't need a lot of people. But the key here is that get it started. Send people out, and then you'll start experiencing God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're so good, Lord. We thank you for this morning. We pray for all those who are not here today, whether they're traveling or they're back home for the summer. We just pray that you would use GFCC in marvelous, magnificent ways. That size really doesn't matter, Lord. It's that desire to pursue excellence, that drive to see others come to know Christ, to know the great story that we know here today, that your Son came to die for us on the cross, resurrected. And now anyone who believes in their heart and confess with their mouth that he is Lord and Savior can be saved. It's an amazing story, a love story. And I pray, Lord, that you will use each one of us here this morning to be able to tell that story as we go out as a church and, of course, as a larger universal church. We give you thanks for GFCC. We pray that you'll continue to use the church here in mighty ways. We give you praises for the work of Christ Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.